Buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, plaid up your vestments, and gather up your apples. It's time for Sounds About Light, a podcast about Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm Sam.
I'm Drew.
Is it too long with four things?
No, I think you just keep making it longer till the end of the show at this point.
That's what I do on Dr. Huh. The
show's not long enough, so you should do that.
I mean, nobody's ever complained, which I think means that they want it to be longer.
I think so. We'll just keep making it longer until someone says something.
Perfect. We watched... Where'd we go this time? We spent a little bit of time with Yen Sid at the Mysterious Tower. We went to Twilight Town and met those three funny teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think... Do we go to Radiant Garden for a bit?
We saw stuff in Radiant Garden. I don't think that we actually went there. I think we saw
it on our
fun phone.
Yeah, but we do get to see some recompleted organization members, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And some of them even got to talk.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was pretty much just Twilight Town and Mysterious Tower.
Well, let's get right into it then.
Yeah.
Sora, Donald, and Goofy report to Yen Sid. And Sora, of course, is coming right out of the Olympus adventure. He has not retrieved his strength. He is still as weak as ever. He is really not bothered about it at all. And pretty much everyone is like, Sora, you need to be bothered by this.
I gotta say, I'm like, why did you guys think that would change it right away? what was supposed to happen? Was he gonna become a demigod? What did they want?
Well, Hercules, you gained your strength by jumping into the River of Souls. Can we push Meg in and let me give it a try?
Yeah.
Can we throw Kairi in there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, just put Kairi in some danger. It's been a minute.
Yeah, unfortunately, she is busy. Oh, that's another thing that we saw. We got to check in with Kairi.
Yeah, I like that part.
Yeah. But yeah, Yen Sid is like, Sora, you really need the power of waking. Remember that? Remember that MacGuffin that we still don't really know exactly what it is?
I like that. Does Donald literally say we could bonk you on the head and see if that does it?
Yeah, because I think Goofy is like, well, Hercules got his power back from a specific moment, so maybe you need something to trigger it. And yeah, Donald's like, how about a bonk on the head? And Yen Sid is like, perhaps. Yeah,
maybe. Let's try it.
How about a bonk on the head?
Hey!
Perhaps it could be something that is as simple as that.
Wait, you think so too?
It could be something as simple as that. He then says, whenever you are in need, magic happens, and that is your greatest strength, Sora. And Sora is a little bit offended at that. And this is, I think, the beginning of a running theme through this scene and perhaps the entire game, which is that Sora is starting to feel a little bit inferior.
Yeah, annoyed that apparently he doesn't really have control over his powers. We're
getting some insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, Riku is a Keyblade master now. Sora, meanwhile, has had all of his strength reset multiple times.
he should stop doing that.
You know, we remember the scene from Kingdom Hearts 1 where he's like, you know, my heart may be weak, but my friends are my power. And I think maybe it's about time that Sora needs to start believing in his own strength.
Yeah, except for he literally gets power from being a good friend.
Yeah, and I don't think he's ever going to start believing in himself if he keeps hanging out with Donald Duck.
I'll bonk you some more.
Mickey and Riku come back, and the insecurity is only going to continue building as Donald and Goofy are literally, like, throwing Sora aside so that they can talk to Mickey.
Yeah, they got to get in there and kiss that ring.
They love King Mickey so much that they, like, shove Sora onto the floor and they go talk to Mickey. And Sora, like, tries to get up and contribute to the conversation. And literally, Goofy, like, without looking back at him for a second, just puts a hand on Sora's chest and just shoves him back down.
I was surprised by that. That doesn't seem like a Goofy move.
I know. It's not an extremely Goofy move, E.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I feel very bad for Sora. I don't know if this was intended to be like legitimately, oh my god, they're being mean to him, but be nice to him. That's Sora.
Yeah.
Things are starting to add up. Sora is not feeling very good about himself right now. And he's literally like, "Can I finally talk?" And they just ignore him.
I know. I was like, "You guys are being so rude to this boy."
Yeah, even Riku. Sora's like, "Can I please speak?" And Riku's like, "Anyway, so we followed Aqua's trail to the Dark Margin, but we couldn't find her." Mickey says that he believes that Aqua has fallen into the Great Abyss beneath the Realm of Darkness. And as a little reminder, the last time we saw her chronologically was when she met with Ansem the Wise on the Dark Margin, which was after Kingdom Hearts 2. So we don't know what happened to her after that. We don't know why she's missing from there.
Right, yeah. I guess we'll find out.
Riku, of course, remembers saving Sora from the same abyss at the end of Dream Drop Distance, so he thinks maybe if we find someone close to Aqua, they might be able to do the same for her. But Mickey, this is hilarious, and I'll spoil right now that it will not come up again, but Mickey is like, well, we need someone whose heart is connected to Aqua's. The two best candidates, of course, are Ventus, who is hidden somewhere and only Aqua knows where, and Terra, who we have no idea what happened to him. The only other person would be Ericus, who is dead. And I think that someone here says, like, well, she made a lot of friends during her travels. So, they're going to find Cinderella?
Yeah, no, at the end of it, after they've talked about how, like, Sora might have someone in his heart or something that could help out or whatever, I think. Or wait, does that come up later, the stuff with his heart?
There's this part here where he's just like, I'll save her. And he's like, oh, I don't know where that came from.
Ventus. Oh, and right. I feel like, yeah, it's implied that Ventus for a second exerted a little bit of control over Sora. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, so they haven't figured that out. Because I guess none of them know Ventus is in his heart, right? Like, Sora saw Ventus for a second in Dream Drop Distance, but I don't think he knew who he was.
No, I don't think... I think he was confused about that, if I remember correctly, because he was like, you look like Roxas, but you're not Roxas.
Yeah, so he hasn't put that together yet.
Oh, actually, no, he didn't see Ventus. He was Ventus for a moment.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Now I'm kind of trying to remember, does Mickey know? Because Mickey met Ventus.
But Mickey didn't see any of that. He wasn't there.
Did Mickey meet Roxas at any point?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe he doesn't know that Ventus looks like Roxas.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has met Ventus and Roxas.
Except for, like, Axel.
Zigbar.
Yeah, Zigbar. Yeah, but Axel met both of them.
But Axel might not remember Ventus. Yeah, he probably would, but yeah.
Yeah, he got it memorized, famously.
He got it memorized.
I guess we don't know if he actually does.
No one's asked Axel. Well, and there's some weird stuff, too, because it looks like Lee has memory loss from stuff that he knew as Axel. So,
are you referring to Shion?
Yeah, Shion, but it seems like he said, like, hasn't he, like, implied that he doesn't remember everything from being a nobody?
I think it's only Shion because she was destroyed.
Because everyone forgot her. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so they imply that maybe they can go find Cinderella or Peter Pan or someone, and maybe they could make the dive into the abyss. Zack could probably do it, but the credits made it look like he might have died, so we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that will never be brought up again, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, they probably don't have the rights to Zack anymore.
But yeah, you know, they finally acknowledge Sora, and they're like, hey, if you think you can save her, we'll believe in you. Don't let us down, Sora. And then Yen Sid, you know, they tell him that their Keyblades were destroyed, and Yen Sid's like, okay, well, could you meet up with Kairi, Lee, and Merlin, and Merlin can get you some new Keyblades, I think is what is implied here, which we don't have time to unpack that. Mm-hmm. And while you're on your way, deliver these plaid vestment suitcases. And Sora sees that there's more outfits being handed out, and he's like, please!
He's so impatient.
I've been wearing this since 2007!
It's true. He has a couple times, like, grown out of his clothes.
Yeah. And I like this part where Sora is, like, very jealous and whiny about not getting a new outfit, and Donald, like, chastises him to try to, like, look good in front of Yen Sid, and Yen Sid is like, of course, Sora, we have one for you as well, and Donald's like, oh, man.
It's fucked up that why don't Goofy and Donald get good suits to protect them from darkness? They're gonna
That's
have to
a
go
very good question.
They're gonna have to go into darkness, too.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know why they've never gotten new outfits.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could believe, like, Goofy's just such a good boy that he'll never get taken by the darkness. But Donald
Duck, he's a prince of heart.
Donald Duck is at risk.
He's a prince of darkness.
Yeah, he sure is.
And Sora sees his plaid suitcase and he's so excited, and Yen Sid is like, there is also a gift from Chip and Dale. And Sora just goes, cool, okay.
Oh, boy, this gift.
He's just like, gifts. Jiminy's also here.
I was shocked to see him. It's always weird when you remember Jiminy's around.
Yeah, Yen Sid also gives Sora a charm called a Heart Binder. This is not anything we need to talk about. It's how you do summons. Moving on. Before they leave, they all lean in to listen to Yen Sid, who very quietly whispers, "May your heart be your guiding key." And Goofy's like, "I told you."
That was funny, too. I like how they're like, "Yeah, no, we've always been saying this. See?"
It's such a typical Kingdom Hearts thing to be like, now you might be wondering, why has this never happened before, but it's happening now? Well, it has been. You're wrong. Gotcha.
They were just whispering it even quieter before.
Yeah, he whispers so quietly, and you look and you can see in his mouth is Mickey Mouse's shirt, and you're like, oh, that's where it went.
Yeah.
He ate it.
If you play Mickey's audio backwards from Kingdom Hearts 1, he's saying, may your heart be your guiding key.
Every line.
Yeah.
They're back in the gummy ship. Sora's got his new outfit on. I do like this one, except for the fact that he's got a deep V-neck with a metal necklace, and I cannot see it without thinking about how cold it must be.
Yeah, he's got magic. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. Donald's warming it up.
That's right.
It's, you know, same deal as last time. They don't know where to go. Sora doesn't know how to get there. Donald's mad. His own theme music starts playing from his pocket, and he pulls out a smartphone in the chunkiest Kingdom Hearts case.
Yeah, I said this on Co-host, but it looks to me like those phones you give to your grandparents that just have, like, pre-programmed buttons to call 911 and stuff.
Yeah, he's on Jiminy Cricket Wireless.
Yeah.
That was off the dome. I didn't even have that written down. Look at me go.
I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I think I asked this on Co-host too, but what social media do you think would capture Sora and ruin his mind?
Oh god.
I think
Sora would be destroyed by TikTok.
That was my conclusion too, because I think that he basically wouldn't engage with any of the other social medias. It would either be TikTok or Instagram, and I think it's TikTok.
Well, here's a fun fact, because I don't think that there's any of this in Gamer's little video that we're watching, but this is a thing in Kingdom Hearts 3 that all of the loading screens are Kingdom Hearts Instagram posts.
Oh.
So it'll be like a picture of the Destiny Islands, and it'll be like, I love my favorite beach, hashtag Destiny Islands, hashtag dreaming, hashtag Sora, hashtag Donald, hashtag Goofy, hashtag Riku, hashtag Kyrie, hashtag memories.
I kind of like that.
It's pretty great.
Because they're all teens. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And also, I mean, we learn here when Sora looks at the gummy phone for the first time, it's called the gummy phone, Chip and Dale do inform him that it can take pictures. And you can take selfies.
Yeah. So it's made out of gummy blocks, and I assume they're like saying that's how it can communicate between worlds.
Sure.
Yeah. But okay, gummy blocks are the barrier of a world that got destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are we getting so many gummy blocks?
Well, think about how many Disney movies we haven't seen. They're all dead.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, cool.
This phone is made out of fun and fancy free. Enjoy.
This is three caballeros.
I really love when the phone starts ringing and Sora says, "What is this?" And Donald goes, "Got me. Make it stop."
Donald's on a new level in this game. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I know. He's really mad.
This Donald would think he killed his nephews.
And he'd be right.
Yeah.
Sora answers the call accidentally. Don't worry about it. And Chip and Dale are FaceTiming him from Mickey's desk. And I love that we like cut to Mickey's library at the castle, and we see that they have their tiny gummy phone on a little stand so that they can stand in front of it and talk to Sora.
Yeah, that's great.
That's the good stuff. They explain the gummy phone. Who cares? Chip and Dale tell him about the data that Ansem hid inside of him. This is the first he's heard of it. And then Ienzo joins the call to give a little progress report on the decryption of said data. They have no idea who he is, of course. And he's like, "Hello, I'm Ienzo. Alias is here too." And we cut to Alias, who just grimaces and says nothing.
Alias, whose voice actor couldn't be there that day or something?
I guess so. Both of their voice actors are still, English and Japanese, that is, are still working. They're both alive. This isn't a Phil situation. I don't know why they didn't get them back. I will say, Lexius's like organization nickname was the Silent Hero, so maybe that's why.
Could be, yeah.
That wouldn't explain why Dylan doesn't talk, but whatever. The other Silent Hero.
Busy.
I guess so. I think that Lexius's voice actor's name is Dave Boat, which is pretty good.
Oh, I want to get on the Dave Boat.
I want to get on the Dave Boat. Sora should fight one at the end of the game.
Please.
So, yeah, Ienzo explains, like, when you defeated our nobodies, you recompleted us into people. You know, we took our hearts out by choice, but Xehanort had deceived us. We're back to being normal guys now. Donald doesn't believe that, but Goofy's like, well, I mean, Lee's on our side now, so who knows?
Yeah, well.
let's trust him to dig through my heart.
Yeah, I mean, Sora's let people into his heart with less information, so, yeah.
That's true. Ienzo says that they have friends of their own that they're trying to bring back, which I assume is Roxas and Ansem?
It probably is, or, you know, they might not really know what's going on with, like, Saix yet.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, maybe Issa.
Yeah.
But yeah, they agree to work together. Ienzo says, like, oh, I found, or Ansem found, rather, that your heart doesn't just belong to you. And Donald and Goofy are like, what? And Sora's like, oh, yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, it's all fucked up in there. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I never mentioned it, but yeah, I'm like 100% sure that there's at least two guys in there.
I mean, it makes sense because he actually he does know about Roxas. He doesn't know about the other ones, and that's correct. Fair. Yeah.
But yeah, Ienzo's like, oh, okay, you think that Roxas is in there. Well, we'll keep that in mind. Thanks for the information. They sign off. Chip and Dale sign off. I love that as they hang up, they're like, Jiminy, please tell Sora how to use the phone.
Why is the old man Cricket in your pocket the one that knows how to use the phone?
I don't know, but he does seem very tech savvy. I think he's like, why, I might try writing my journal on it.
Yeah, it's true. He did understand the data journal, like, pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true. He's had a lot of hacking experience.
That's right.
He went to the same school as Pete.
And, yeah, do you think did Chip and Dale teach the school?
That seems incredibly likely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say yes, that is a fact.
Great.
So Sora says, okay, now I know what we need to do. We need to follow the trail of Roxas's heart while the others follow the trail of Aqua's heart. He uses his Keyblade to open another gate for the gummy ship, and we finally get the Kingdom Hearts 3 title card. We made it!
Woo!
We are now out of 2.9. Hooray! They go to Twilight Town, and Goofy immediately realizes that they forgot to tell everyone else about Maleficent and Zigbar, and Sora's like, eh, whatever. It's fine. You know, how dangerous could it be if Pete is involved?
Rude.
True.
He's your greatest adversary.
He's gonna kill you. You're weak.
You know, I thought back to the content of what they said to Sora, and I was like, actually, I don't think they really said anything to you that anybody could do anything about, so...
I hope that being nice comes with insurance.
Yeah, like, what is Yensid gonna do with that? They already know those people are still around, so, yeah. I'm with Sora.
Unless Yensid has heard of the black box, which, let's be real, he probably has.
Yeah, he was in it. That's the secret. He was the thing in the box.
Curled up into a pretzel.
Oh, I don't like this.
Sora sees the Twilight Town trams and is like, oh my god, they're still here! Donald's like, it hasn't been that long. Which I think is a little joke about how long it's been since Kingdom Hearts 2, but also they kind of tie it into what's going on, and Goofy's like, maybe what you're feeling is Roxas's homesickness. And Sora's like, yeah, I think you're probably right. Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both, but yeah.
They kind of reflect on the plot of Recoded, Data Roxas testing Data Sora and his ability to cope with hurt. And, you know, Sora says almost word for word exactly what Data Sora said, where he's like, you know, carrying around a little hurt can't be all that bad because hurting is part of caring. And Donald and Goofy are like, that's exactly what your little robot self said.
Wow.
Great.
It makes sense. They're basically the same guy.
Bring him back.
Yeah. No. Please.
Sora gets back on topic and they start thinking about Roxas again. And then the screen goes black and a silent voice says, do you seek our liege? Which is something that happened in Kingdom Hearts 2. I believe in the Data Twilight Town, it was like, we have come for you, my liege. This is the Dusks talking, presumably.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because they think Roxas is their boss.
I guess so. I am curious if there is any significance to Roxas being our liege, like, it could just be like we're basic nobodies and you're a special one, but
yeah,
you would think Xemnas would be their liege.
He was going to be the next like vessel for Xehanort, so maybe it's that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dusks show up, so Sora summons his Meow-Wow to become gigantic and fly around like a deflating balloon and explode.
I loved this. I was very glad the Dream Eaters were still here.
Yeah. I love the, like, finisher of the Meow-Wow summon, where it explodes and, like, all the Dream Eaters, like, just go flying in all directions.
Yeah, it's amazing. Much less so, I did not like seeing the stupid ship just go back and forth and blow water all over the screen or whatever.
Oh, yeah, when they did the pirate ship attraction. Yeah, not great.
No.
Hainer, Pence, and Olette show up. They're being chased by an entire demon tide, which is crazy.
Yeah, seems bad.
I guess that's the trouble with living in the realm between, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean... They imply this has been going bad recently, right? This isn't like every day.
Yes, and there's a weird thing in here that I was fascinated by, because we don't know how much time has passed since Kingdom Hearts 2, like from Sora's perspective. We know that time can be weird, famously, but Sora and friends fight off the demon tide and it flies away, and then Sora runs up to the others. He's like, oh my god, you guys, it's been ages. And they're like, it hasn't been that long. And later... one of them says something about, like, oh, there's no need. We already did the summer homework. So, like, for them, has it been, like, a few days?
Or a couple weeks or something? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or maybe they're, like, in the school year, and they're like, no, that was for summer. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like it's been much time. And it's hard to tell if they look older or if it's just that it's their new Unreal models.
Yeah, and a whole lot more plaid.
Yeah.
And a full new voice cast.
Oh.
They all were good sound-alikes, though.
Still got Dog Street, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that can never be replaced with plaid. He will always be Dog Street.
Yeah, I looked for a shirt for a minute, but I didn't find any that I thought looked good enough, so.
They sell the Dog Street jersey that Pence wears for $500 on the Square Enix shop.
Yeah, I was looking at Etsy, but still.
Anyway, so... yeah, Pence is like, oh, if you three are here, then maybe that means that things are getting weird in Twilight Town again. And Hainer's like, we were just chased by a tornado of shadow creatures. What are you talking about?
Sora's like idea of what normal is has really gotten out of whack.
Well, that was Pence who said that. Pence supposed to be the smart one.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I don't know then.
But yeah, he says that he's looking for Roxas, and they're like, Roxas, that sounds familiar. And... As a fun reminder, you know, obviously they know him through Sora's heart, having Roxas's heart, which knows them from the Data Twilight Town. But they actually did meet Roxas in Days, like twice.
Yeah, very briefly, though.
Yeah, just a couple times. It was a long time ago. But yeah, they do kind of know him, IRL. Goofy shows them. I love this part because he shows them the picture that they got. I think this is the picture that they got in Kingdom Hearts 2. In the box with the ice cream. And it's the three of them with Roxas outside of the mansion posing for a picture. And they're like, oh, we'll help you find him. He seems like a pretty cool guy. And they zoom in on this incredibly dorky looking picture of Roxas.
Yeah, I love that photo, though.
Oh, yeah. The line from Pence is great here, too, where he's like, oh, my God, we have the same picture. And he shows a picture of the three of them in the same pose. And he says, it's like one of those spot the difference puzzles, but really easy.
Isn't this like, weren't the nobody stealing photos of Roxas at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2?
They were.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the word photos.
And the word photos. God, I remember. Yeah. Okay.
Very strange.
Yeah.
They decide to split up and search for Roxas. First, they decide to take a picture together. They all pose and then remember that nobody's holding the camera. I love this part where I guess like they draw straws off screen or whatever. And Donald has to take the picture. Goofy agrees to sit out with Donald, too. And Donald's like, well, if you're going to sit out, then you take the picture.
He's such a little jerk. It's great.
Yeah, and Goofy takes a picture of four smiling humans and one very angry duck.
It's kind of like a, Yeah, Donald Duck thought they were doing like a photo, like for like a album or album cover photo, and everyone else was just taking a normal photo.
Why do these four humans and this one duck look like they're about to drop the most fire mixtape?
It'd be good. He can play guitar, so.
We then see our first lucky emblem, which is, it's a hidden Mickey. There's hidden Mickeys in this game, and you got to take pictures of them with your camera. Fortunately, they never come up in conversation again, because...
I thought it was, it's so weird, though, because in my notes, I'm like, oh, a lucky emblem, it looks just like my friend's head. And then they just go, oh, it looks like King Mickey's head. And
yeah, I'm like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you guys aren't more weirded out by King Mickey's head just being everywhere? Who did that?
Impetuous little man.
Mickey did it? Yeah.
He's going around to the world just graffitiing his head everywhere.
It's part of his podcast tour, yeah.
And in some cases, arranging clouds in the sky into the shape of his head.
Wow, he's really full of himself, but he is he is king.
What else is new?
Yeah.
They head to the mansion through the forest, and they find a trail of fruit on the ground leading up to a tree full of monkey heartless climbing up towards a terrified rat from Ratatouille.
Yeah, Remy?
Remy! Not voiced by Patton Oswalt.
Not voiced at all.
No, he does not talk. He doesn't get a name in this. They just call him Little Chef.
Yeah, and fair enough, because he only talks to other rats in the movie, so he wouldn't really have a way to tell them his name.
Yeah, although I feel like that he should be... First of all, he should be able to talk to Donald and Goofy because they're both animals. Second of all, he should be able to talk to Sora because Sora has Ventus in his heart and Ventus is a mouse.
I thought you were going to say he had dog brain, but...
Well, they rescue Remy from the Heartless and they're like starting to leave, but Remy climbs on Sora's head and starts piloting him around and makes him gather up the fruit for him.
I feel like they should all be way more freaked out by this.
But, yeah, Sora, to his credit, is, like, not pleased. He's like, oh my god, I can do it myself, I get it.
But they kind of think it's cool, and Goofy says, that little feller's parked on your head!
He's piloting you like a mech!
Yeah.
I like this part, though, where they gather up the fruit for Remy, and they're like, what are you gonna do with all this fruit? And he, like, mimes chopping it up and, like, cooking it or whatever. And they just watch him do this, and then Sora's just like, well, bye. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it felt like the game acknowledging, like, what, this isn't part of the story. Come on.
No. We'll come back to that in a little bit. They go to the mansion. Sora looks up at Naminé's window and feels a brief flash of Roxas's memories. Haner startles them with a tap on the shoulder right in the middle of them thinking about how the mansion is allegedly haunted. Basically, nobody has learned anything asking around town, so they're going to go inside and try to get into the virtual Twilight Town, but...
I like how it's, like, a theme that you never find anything asking around town, you know? Like, like when they spent all that time looking up rumors, and they were all bullshit, and, like...
I don't know what would have happened, though. They, like, go and ask the accessory shop lady, the old grandma, and she's like... You know, now that you mention it, I did hear about a computer room in the basement of the mansion.
Yeah, fair enough. There's a big dumb computer in there.
Have you ever heard of a man named Diz?
It stands for Darkness and Zero.
He's my son, Ansem the Wise.
Oh, twist.
Anyway, they try to activate the digital world transporter thing, but for unclear reasons that I don't think will ever be addressed, No, you can't. They're like, it's in protected mode. So that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was... Yeah, because I thought it was funny because Pence did log in with his name as the username. And I was like, why does he have a user account for Big Dumb Computer?
it was Ansem's computer. Password Seasalt Ice Cream.
He knew the password, but if you look, he wrote Pence for the username on the screen.
He just logs in as Ansem and, like, changes the profile.
Yeah, that would be...
He uploads a selfie.
Ansem gets back and he's just like, what? This is not my gamer card. This is not my avatar.
So Ienzo calls them on the phone and it's like, I mean, this is the call you never want to receive when you're logging into somebody else's account on their computer, is getting a call and being like, excuse me, are you logged into his computer? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, IT's pissed.
Yeah, he's like, did you log into the terminal? And Sora goes, yeah, the log terminal. And Donald says, you don't know what he's talking about, Sora.
This was good, not knowing how computers work talk. I thought it was actually funny.
Yeah, the one line that doesn't really do it for me is when Ienzo explains what he and Pence are going to do, and Sora says, okay, great, I can't computer, so do that. I thought that was a little bit too, like, Facebook quirky for me, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I agree
with the sentiment.
Games are almost never funny when they try to be funny, and I think this is actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a very minor nitpick in a scene that I do like. But I also like this part where Pence is like slowly and deliberately explaining to Ienzo what's going on, and Hayner just like grabs the phone and is like, "We're trying to get into the other Twilight Town." that's what I like about Kingdom Hearts 3 cutscenes is. It's very, like, full of character, you know?
Yeah, no, it isn't just plot delivery or one joke delivery. It's, like, both, which is nice. Yeah,
yeah. And whoever thought that we would get to see Hayner talking to Ienzo?
Not me, but hey, we got smartphones now.
That's right, anyone can talk to anyone. It's the crossover event of the century, besides Kingdom Hearts in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ienzo basically is like, huh, okay, I guess Ansem the Wise must have created a datascape, and we then, like, fade to black, and we come back. Pence has been, like, working with Ienzo. Sora is literally asleep, standing up, just holding his phone up to Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they have given Ienzo access to Ansem's terminal in Twilight Town. The transporter is still locked. That's never going to change, as far as I know. But Ienzo has access to all of the logs and the data and stuff, so that's good. He also mentions that, hey, remember Evan?
Yeah, of course I remember the horrible-faced man.
Yeah, I like that they cut to... This is a rare moment. Usually when they give us a flashback, it's in the graphics of the game that it's from, but mm-hmm. They give us a loving, unreal render of Vexen's horrible face.
Well, I assume it's because he's going to show up in the game later. Although, never mind. Yeah, why did they re-render it?
Yeah, because it's just the moment from Chain of Memories where he's in front of the mansion and then Axel kills him. But, yeah, we get this horrible Vexen face, and Ienzo says that basically when they all woke up on the floor, Evan was with them but unconscious, but at some point he vanished. And he's worried that Evan might have left of his own volition to try to rejoin the organization to continue his research. So that's the end of that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. There's no way he was a good guy. He's the most evil-looking guy. And I don't mean his features. Like, he literally just always made evil faces all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was the one scene where Ventus met him and... Ventus was about to, like, run off and fight a giant Unversed, and Evan steps out to talk to Alias and Dylan, and he's like, don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
It does Mr. Burns' fingers, yeah.
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 And his face is curved like Mr. Burns' spine.
Yeah, kinda, yeah.
So Hayner and Pence run off to work. We'll find out what they're doing very shortly. They're gonna save up for pretzels. They need four now. Get it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Rox is their friend who will be here. And now this is kind of wild, is that when Sora, Donald, and Goofy are leaving the mansion, they just, like, walk around the corner of the, like, gate outside, and Ansem and Xemnas are just standing there.
Yeah, they've just been hanging, they've been waiting.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, it's a waste of time. Like, even if you extract Roxas's heart from yours, where's it gonna go, Sora? And Sora's like, well, I could just put him back in virtual Twilight Town. And Ansem's like, that doesn't make any sense.
The heart can live anywhere, even inside Data. You know, in fact, hearts might be more real there than in the 3D PD space.
No! Sora! No! Yeah. Who's he been talking to? Pence.
Yeah, Sora, and that's the wrong character. Sora would not have a waifu.
No,
I think Donald Duck might, but not Sora.
Yeah, her name's Daisy.
Yeah, but he's got what about a what about an anime Daisy though?
You're saying that he's cheating on Daisy with a JPEG?
Yeah, with it. Well, he made a Data Daisy. That's actually kind of fucked up. Never mind.
I don't like this part because Goofy is like, well, hold on a minute. If Ansem and Xemnas are both able to exist right now, then surely Sora and Roxas can coexist. Which is a rare miss from the smartest guy in the room, Goofy, because that's not how... Zemnas literally exists because Ansem exists. So the logic's not really working for me here.
No, although they are in a weird place where they did merge and then exist again, but I think that's just time travel.
There's a lot of stuff that we're thinking is time travel.
Yeah, or I guess maybe he merged and then retook his heart out to get more guys.
I'm pretty sure it's time travel.
Okay.
We'll get into that when we need to, and not a moment sooner.
Okay.
But Ansem and Zemnas are like, hey, you do whatever you want. We would actually really love it if Roxas came back. So have fun. I think Zemnas is like, you know how nobodies are created. Are you telling me that you're going to call upon the darkness and become a heartless again? And they summon a bunch of Neo Shadows and Dusks and say, set your heart free. And then they leave. And Sora is like, if it helps Roxas, it can't be darkness. Which, in context, I think accidentally makes it sound like he's about to let the Heartless kill him.
Yeah, it does. But, quick question. I'm trying to remember. The reason Ansem is a Heartless that kept his memories was just because he was so evil, right? That's why Sora didn't keep his memories as a Heartless.
As far as we know, and there's never been any explanation for this, but Ansem is the only person that we know who fully retained their, like, sentience and memories and humanity as a Heartless.
Okay. It's interesting we've never gotten a second one. You would think we would by now.
Besides Scar.
Besides Scar, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a real anomaly in that way, and I don't know if that's supposed to be a thing, or if that's just like, well, that's what the plot of the first game was, and we didn't know.
Yeah, or it's just a, like, Xehanort is special, and the rules don't always apply to him.
Because I think chronologically, in his timeline, he released his heart, he became a brown bag, and then I think, if I remember correctly, he flew straight from there, like, back in time to set up Dream Drop Distance, I'm pretty sure.
I think that's right, yeah.
So, he definitely knew what he was doing. But, you know, there's also a lot of weirdness going on with the fact that it was Xehanort's heart in Terra's body, so who knows? Who knows what happened there? There's a lot of weird, like, unprecedented things at play.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Anyway, they fight. So yeah. Sora afterwards, you know, he's like, I'm gonna save Roxas. I'm gonna do what Hercules did for Meg. I'm gonna fight with all my heart. They go back into town to warn Haner and Olette that there's villains afoot. They are interrupted by Scrooge McDuck, who says, thank you for rescuing the chef from my new bistro. And he hands them a fruit tart. And he says, this is from him as thanks. And as they look at this and they're like, wow, a cake. This looks like a delicious cake. You just see Scrooge's hat start rumbling more and more furiously.
Yeah, this is my crackpot corner for the episode.
Okay.
That this isn't Remy. This is Ermix, his nobody. And he's piloting Scrooge. He's totally mind-controlled Scrooge, and he's taken over, and he's running this restaurant.
I like it. Where, so when did he become a Heartless?
They were too late with the monkeys, and he was already a Heartless at that
point. Oh, no, that's terrible.
He was already a nobody at that point.
So he's going to be one of the darknesses that they have to fight.
Yeah, he's part of the organization now.
There's going to be a cooking mini game where he cooks food for them, but there's a little bit of poison in each one.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, he's cooking. Yeah, he puts them to sleep, and then you have like a weird boss battle where he's like piloting around a giant Heartless or something, like a Darkseid Heartless. They've got hair. He could do it.
They do have hair. They have long, flowing, luscious locks.
Yeah.
I like that. It's true.
Okay, great.
That explains why Patton Oswalt isn't voicing him.
Yeah. It's.
Do you think he would do it if they asked?
Oh, yeah. Patton Oswalt. Yeah, I think so.
I also think so. Anyway, yeah, so Scrooge is like, all right, I'll tell him. It's a, not going to say it, a fruit tart in French. And he pulls his hat off and reveals Little Chef, Remy the Rat, Ratatouille. And I think that he implies that he went to Ratatouille World, which is called France, and met Remy.
One of the many Frances.
Yeah. And was basically like, you know, I'm rich. The rules about world order do not apply to me.
Yeah.
Would you like to come with me?
Because they do. They are just like, Scrooge is just a world traveler, even though like the conventional ways to do that should all be gone. But the mega rich are not constrained by any laws, including universal ones, I would say.
Yeah, he's in his mega gummy yacht.
And he must have a keyblade, I guess, to like shoot himself around.
We, you know, in Kingdom Hearts 2, Goofy said that, one of them said that Scrooge was working on like a world traveling method. So I guess they've just put that vague idea out and they're just going to keep it that way.
Yeah.
He can get around. Don't worry about it.
He just like threw enough money into like a pit or I don't know, like jammed it down into a keyblade and now I have a keyblade.
He made a bridge of money throughout space.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to get too much into this because it's a lot of just like mini games and side mechanics and stuff. But basically, Remy is the cooking mini game. You can find ingredients, which usually takes the form of you seeing somebody's takeout container and whacking it with the keyblade and seeing what comes out.
Seems rude.
We as viewers are probably not going to be hearing it much, but people who play the game are going to get very sick of hearing Donald Duck say, and I'll do my best. Whoa, nope. This looks like a good spot to find some ingredients.
So they're kind of like pawns from Dragon's Dogma in this game.
I haven't played it, but from what I've heard, exactly that.
All right, cool.
You'll also get a lot of like, Gore Sora, I think there might be a lucky emblem around here.
Let's take a selfie.
Is that Mickey's head? Nope. The other thing that happens here is that Hayner and Olette run over and they explain that their part-time job is for Scrooge. They're putting up posters for a film festival, parentheses, of Mickey Mouse shorts.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It is, you actually can go over to where the film festival is and they are playing, I've never actually looked at it if they're playing actual Mickey Mouse shorts or just like simplified versions of them, but you can download. This is a pretty fun thing, is that there's a QR code on the poster that you can, in the cutscene, Sora takes a picture of it with his phone and downloads this, like, it's called Classic Kingdom. They're, like, mini-games inspired by, like, Game & Watch type stuff.
Yeah.
But there are others of these that you can get by actually, like, in-game pointing Sora's camera at them and taking a picture. It's a fun touch.
Well, yeah,
because I never played any of them.
They say it's a promo game for the film, and so I was like, is it, like, a Fortnite trailer? Is it going to be like, is this how you're going to learn that
Mickey
somehow
Mouse has returned?
Yeah, somehow Xehanort's returned.
I mean, that is the plot of this game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, there's Classic Kingdom. If you do all of them, you get a like black and white keyblade or something. It's probably fun, maybe.
Neat.
Donald is like impressed by Scrooge's kindness at organizing this like free community film festival until mm-hmm. Scrooge explains that his motive is basically to not offer refreshments, get people hungry, and then funnel them directly to his expensive bistro.
And he makes like a very evil face during all this.
And Donald's just like, oh, Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah, and I think, but Sora and Goofy are, like, really, like, admiring him when they're like, wouldn't want to be one of his competitors.
Well, yeah, we all admire, you know, the Titans of Capital.
Yeah, they're the coolest guys there are.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the news recently, but I think that's probably true.
They're so cool all the time. Mark Zuckerberg looks so cool in every photo of him that's ever existed.
And Elon Musk recently had a very cool deposition publicized.
Yeah, we love him.
So yeah, Sora warns them about the villains, and that's kind of it. He's like, we're going to go save Roxas, so you just keep him in your hearts, like how Kairi brought me back when I was lost. It's not really at all the same situation, but, you know,
no,
thoughts
and
prayers.
I had that thought too, but yeah.
He also says, when I was lost, Kairi and my friends brought me back by wishing with all their hearts, which is not at all true. Kairi hugged Sora's heartless. Don and the Goofy had nothing to do with it.
He should just be nice. Or sure. He forgot.
We then cut to Ansem and Xemnas watching from a rooftop, and Zigbar appears and is like, "You think you might be a little bit too obvious about this?" And they're like, "Please, we are dealing with very stupid people. We need to spell it out for them."
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so what are they spelling out, I guess? Oh, they, like, you could bring Roxas back by embracing darkness?
Yeah, or... I think they are like, yeah, you have that option of like removing your own heart and then Roxas will come back. They would love that because then Sora would be free as a vessel. Yeah. If not that, then, you know, just like keep pursuing this. Right. It will be good for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Zigbar is like, all right, fair enough. But don't forget, that guy is really good at ruining our plans. And Ansem is like, if he tries, we'll destroy him. Sure.
You've never done it. How'd that work
last time?
He's always won, and now his friends are way stronger.
He's killed all three of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Zigbar says, well, don't destroy him too much, because he is one of our potential vessels, and Xemnas ominously says, that is why we never have just one iron in the fire. I love the way that he talks. He always uses these weird expressions, and no one else talks like him. It's so strange.
Yeah, one of my notes from earlier is, one of his lines is, what you seek, it's impossible. He, like, really drags out impossible in a fun way.
Yeah, I remember watching this interview with Paul St. Peter, who does his voice, and he was like, the first time I got, like, my lines for Xemnas, I was like, you said this is supposed to be a minute-long monologue? There's, like, two sentences here.
Oh, so he's just stretching it out. Okay.
That is exactly what he does. But it creates a very cool effect. He's really intimidating, even though we've killed him.
Yeah. I think he's one of my favorite villains.
Yeah, sure. He's great. Yeah. We then cut to a beautiful Unreal Engine forest where Kairi is narrating as she writes a letter to Sora, explaining that Merlin has brought them to a forest where time doesn't matter, where she and Lee can train as much as they need to. And we all are thinking of the hyperbolic time chamber from Dragon Ball Z, because that's what it is.
Is this where the dandelions went?
This location has never been explained, but it's okay. Really, I think this cutscene is like the only time we ever hear about it.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see if it ever comes up again. It could just be a one-off Merlin is a strong wizard moment.
Apparently really a very strong wizard.
Yeah. But yeah, she's like, I'm so excited to go out into the worlds and fight instead of just waiting around while you go on adventures. We'll see. She says, you know, I've gotten to know Lee. He's a really nice guy. He's always saying how sorry he is for kidnapping me. She's like, I understand now. He was just trying to save his best friend, and it's hard not to like him. You know, I do think that he needs to understand, you know, don't apologize. Say thank you. Don't say, I'm sorry I kidnapped you. Say thank you for letting me kidnap you.
Yeah. Thank you for being gracious about me kidnapping you.
Thank you for forgiving me for kidnapping you. She says that she often notices Lee staring at her, like lost in thought. And when she says, what are you thinking about? He says, I don't know. I feel like I'm forgetting something. And she says, it must have something to do with you, Sora. And she says, whatever happens, I hope that you stay happy and cheerful. There's no heart your smile can't reach. And that is the end of her letter, as Lee walks in and starts staring at her and then starts apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors are true. These are his favorite things. He asks if she wants Merlin to send that letter for her. And she's like, no, I just like, you know, writing to Sora. I'm not actually going to send this. And then he pulls out some ice cream. I'm so fascinated by what Merlin's role in all of this is, as he pulls out these two ice creams and he says that Merlin picked them up.
Yeah, I don't know.
So he like put them in a time bubble forest, and then he's just like running out for like ice cream and mail.
I guess so. They can't leave on their own. Or something, probably.
He's like, all right, I'm gonna go get ice cream, and they're like, no, and he leaves, and then he doesn't come back for another 5,000 years.
And then they're so strong when he gets back.
Just absolutely ripped. But yeah, he's got these ice creams. You know they're sea salt. You know that they're not in any sort of wrapper. They're just in his hands.
Yeah, they were in his pockets directly.
He says, it's to summon that they both summon their keyblades.
Yeah. I thought for a minute we were trying to set up like some sort of love triangle with Lee and Kyrie and Sora, but then I'm realizing, oh no, it's about the people inside of Kyrie's heart, not Kyrie. Okay.
Did you think that the way that Axel said when he was like, we both summon Keyblades, gotta celebrate, did you think that that was supposed to be like a sort of sideways reference to Got It Memorized?
I think he's just trying to make a new catchphrase happen.
that's what it felt like it was supposed to be, like, Axel's iconic catchphrase, gotta celebrate.
Gotta celebrate?
Gotta celebrate. She starts eating her ice cream, and he is staring at her once again. And then she says, oh, tomorrow, you and me in the ring, you ready? And he says, yeah. And she says, don't hold back, Lee, promise? Which, of course, is a callback to what Shion said.
Mm-hmm.
And he stares at her, and the sun is, like, behind her, so she's, like, kind of in a blurry silhouette. And just for a moment, we see Shion come into focus, and he starts crying, and he drops his ice cream. And I started crying, and I dropped my ice cream. And Kyrie says, what's wrong, Lee? And he says, oh, I don't know.
I really liked that. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, it's a really good moment. I like that he's right on the edge. He, like, knows that he's forgetting someone, and he can feel that he misses her, but he doesn't really understand it. So, like, as soon as he's not seeing Shion anymore, Kyrie's like, why are you crying? And he's like, I have no idea.
There's something I really like about that concept, like the concept of, like, an emotion so deep that it, like, transcends your own memory. I don't know. I feel like that's something you can almost feel as a person, like, that there are things that have happened to you that you might not even remember, but they still, like, leave an impact on you, you know?
Yeah, and something I think is cool, and I don't know if this is intentional, but I think it might be. This is exactly the same kind of emotional pain that Data Sora was experiencing in Recoded, knowing that he's forgotten someone and feeling sad about it and not knowing why, but knowing that it means something.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
And Recoded is really good and important.
It's important. It's important, yeah.
And
I watched it.
I'll find you saying the word loved at some point and cut and paste it in there.
I was more on board with it by the end of it, for sure. But yeah. I'm still not the biggest fan of the Data stuff, even though I get why we're doing
it. Neither am I. He gets up to leave, having dropped his ice cream on the ground, and he's just like, ah, whatever, Merlin will get it. He says he's sorry, and Kyrie's like, please stop saying you're sorry, it's really annoying. She doesn't say it like that, but she should.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's okay, just stop apologizing. And he says, fine, on one condition, call me Axel from now on.
That was super interesting.
Yeah, and this is... I really went back and forth on this when I played the game originally, because on the one hand, I feel like it's an odd feeling that kind of is like Axel is moving backwards by being like, I'm going to be Axel again. But on the other hand, I think that what it's getting across is that the most meaningful time in his life was the time that he spent as Axel with Roxas and Shion.
That was my thought too. Although it is kind of like a sorry, Issa, that was just wasn't as important to me.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, he was with him as Axel.
But that was a bad. That they were not getting along.
Well, you know,
yeah,
yeah. It is interesting. I do have mixed feelings about it, and it also is, especially right now when he probably himself doesn't even realize why he wants Kyrie to call him Axel. It's pretty sad.
It is.
It really goes to show, like, this sense of like he really wants to get this back, but he doesn't actually even know what it is.
Yeah, I like it. One thing I don't like is how Axel looks in the Unreal Engine. I think this is
a great opportunity to talk about something that I hate about this game, because I think that this is the first time that we've seen, if I'm not mistaken, oh no, we saw it last time, the black coat.
Yeah,
I hate the way that it looks. I never imagined it being shiny black leather.
Yeah, I always thought of it as like flowing wizard's robes.
Yeah, but they made it shiny black leather. And especially on Axel, who I think has his like a little bit unzipped so you can see some of his cool chest. Again, I just feel like it would be really cold. I don't like it.
Yeah, and I just think that, I think that there's something like, there was a style to the old renders, and I think that the faces were more expressive in the old renders, too, like, because it was a little more stylized, like, Axel's, like, smirks and stuff came across more, but now making him, like, more realistic, I feel like his expressions are a little more muted, and I just don't get all the personality coming through anymore.
Yeah, I definitely, when I started playing this, I was really, really disappointed to see how it looked. It really grew on me by the end, and I think that they do find ways to make the characters very expressive, despite moving a little bit away from the more stylized, cartoony visuals. One thing I will say, I didn't mention it, when we see Axel cry and drop his ice cream, I thought they did a really great job with the detail of his, like, his eyes, like, quivering as he tries to hold back the tears. So, like, you know, there's new levels of fidelity that they can achieve in the Unreal Engine, but it does come at a cost of the fun, cartoony style.
Yeah, I like how the game looks for the most part. Axel was the first character where I really noticed it, I think because he is so, like, he's such a big character most of the time.
He's so tall also. I don't know if you meant big literally, but
no, but yeah,
there's just something about him where, like, this super tall skinny guy with the, like, spiky red hair and the black coat, it does look a little bit uncanny.
Well, in anime, people look worse the more real you make them look, so yeah, like, there's, yeah, I don't know, I'm definitely,
he's definitely approaching 3DPD for sure, is what you're saying.
Getting a little too 3DPD for me, yes.
Yeah.
I hope, Dylan, that, like, I hope everyone listening to this knows what the fuck we're talking about, but I guess
if you don't know what 3DPD means, you're not missing out.
Yeah, although I
but
think
you should Google it and then regret Googling it.
It's very funny to me, but yeah.
Oh yeah, you'll be angry, but you won't be viscerally disgusted.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dylan, formerly Zaldin, formerly Dylan, leads Mickey and Riku to the spot in Radiant Garden where Aqua jumped into the darkness to rescue Terra. Mickey remembers what she told him in Fragmentary Passage, which is that she sensed darkness in Terra and he attacked her. So nobody actually saw this fight, but all that they know is this is where she disappeared, and after they were both gone, Ansem's apprentices found a white-haired man on the ground who would then call himself Xehanort.
This scene very much felt like a product of them knowing that a lot of people coming to Kingdom Hearts 3 wouldn't have played all the side games, and it felt like a little bit too much talking to bring you up to speed on stuff you wouldn't know otherwise.
There's a lot of recapping.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help if you didn't play those games.
Yeah, that was kind of one thing that struck me. I'm like, you're still going to be lost.
Oh, yeah. If this is your first game and Mickey Mouse is like, so let's get this straight. Xehanort's heart called himself Ansem, but he wasn't the real Ansem. And he went back in time and instructed his younger self. And then he possessed you, Riku. The body became Xemnas. It's like, they're not going to know what you're talking about. Don't even bother.
No, their brain's already coming out their ears. They have no idea.
Also, I know that we made this joke in Birth by Sleep. My son is also named Xehanort. When Xehanort apprentice man appears in Radiant Garden and Mickey meets him and it's like, oh, that's Ansem's apprentice Xehanort.
Yeah.
That's one of those, like, oops, we didn't think about it.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, they definitely didn't think about that.
Which, I will say, they made the very deliberate choice in Birth by Sleep for Mickey never to meet Terra. So he wouldn't see Apprentice Xehanort and be like, wait a minute, hold on. But yeah. He certainly never thought it was odd that this man calling himself Xehanort appeared out of nowhere in Radiant Garden one day.
But to be, yeah, but I mean, it is like in universe, his name had to have been normal to everybody until he was a big evil guy.
I guess so. Yeah. There's no scene where Xehanort goes to the land of departure and meets Aqua and Terra for the first time, and he's like, my name is Master Xehanort. And they're like, that's weird.
Yeah, because it's not like
Master
it's
what?
Not, It's not like a Sith name or something. It's just his name.
So yeah, they give us a little bit of a recap. The heart became Ansem. The body checked his email. Young Xehanort was seeking people with strong enough ties to his heart to serve as vessels for the real Organization 13. How do you feel about that name?
I think, you know what? Honestly, I know people think that's like crummy, but I think it, if you follow the logic of the games, it makes a lot of sense.
I guess it does. I wish they were just called Organization 13 and these are like the new members of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's fine. So Riku wonders, whatever happened to Terra after Aqua saved him? And then Mickey finally realizes what he missed all this time, which is when he knew Master Xehanort as an old man, he was an old man. Now, why would an old man's heartless and his nobody appear as a young, handsome man?
Mm-hmm.
He must have been using a different body when he removed his heart. It turns out there's a reason that Ansem's apprentice was calling himself Xehanort.
Yeah, man.
Riku is shocked to realize that Apprentice Xehanort was actually just Master Xehanort inhabiting Terra's body. You know, Mickey realizes that Aqua would have had no way of knowing that. She just thought that Terra had been, like, possessed by darkness or something. She thought that she was saving Terra. Little did she know she was saving him and Xehanort. And Riku says, well, now hold on. So when Ansem and Xemnas were destroyed, then Terra should have been recompleted in some place, in some way. What happened with that? And Mickey realizes that Xehanort, at the end of Dream Drop Distance, said that he had two of their lights in his possession, Sora and one other. So the second one must be Terra.
How does Lingering Will play into all of this?
That's a great question. I mean, we talked at the end of Terra's story in Birth by Sleep about how confusing Lingering Will was as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is still the case now.
Yeah, I guess your heart can fragment. Maybe it's just a little piece of his heart.
Or something.
Or something.
But yeah, that's where we're ending for this viewing.
Yeah, I like it. This is fun. This game's good so far. I like the tone, and I'm wary of the data stuff, but they keep moving on past it, so I don't know.
Something that I like is that they are making it very clear that as we approach the end of this first Marvel Cinematic Universe phase of Kingdom Hearts, we are building up to a massive confrontation with all of the heroes and all of the villains ever.
I like it. Even if there's weird time travel stuff going on, I think this is a cool setup, and it feels fun that you're going to get to fight all these bosses again and stuff. So
yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of people really did not like this game. I'm one of the people who thinks that it's really, really good, and I'm really looking forward to where it goes from here.
Nice.
Especially next time, as we get, in my opinion, possibly the best world in all of Kingdom Hearts, Toy Box.
Woo!
We're going to meet Ham. We probably should have saved that reading for for next week, but I was too excited to read about the Detesters of Woody.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear I'm a Detester of Woody, you know, ahead of time, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, on that note, shall we dive to the wiki?
Yes, please.
I had an article that I can't remember if I found at the end of last episode or afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Police Jesus, but you did point out that it's probably Police Jesus.
It probably is Police Jesus, yeah.
I would like to very quickly read about it, pretending for a moment that it's Police Jesus, and then I will revert to what it probably actually is. But I do want to read the intro. Police Jesus is a character originally from Big Hero 6 and Police Jesus, both with a shared universe. Line break, despite this, he is Sora's father.
Could be, we don't know who Sora's dad is.
He was born in a South American country in 2005. After his own country was in economic crisis in 2018, he traveled to San Francisco, California, United States to live well. So he meets Honey Lemon, who would become his friend. It's from Big Hero 6. By learning a bit of technological invention, he creates the Z-Phone, a smartphone capable of fixing things screwed up with viruses, sending fictional things from the screen to reality, and teleporting himself or sending himself to other dimensions. While he played Pokemon Go, he encountered a Porygon Z, but it left the Z Phone screen. So when disabling the pierceable screen function, which I would probably just keep that turned off.
Yeah, what?
The Porygon Z gets inside the Z Phone and changes its appearance, which makes that Porygon Z is as fixed and stays forever on that phone. He too became a young rookie cop.
Porygon Z?
I guess so.
Is Z Phone the one from Sun and Moon?
Oh, I never played it. Is that an actual Pokemon thing?
They've got Z moves in that one. I don't remember if there was a Z Phone.
Nothing's coming up.
Okay. It's funny it was called the Z Phone before Porygon Z got in there.
That's why Porygon Z was so drawn to it.
It's my destiny.
I gotta get in there before you disable my ability to pierce the screen. After that, he and Honey Lemon began to have unforgettable adventures. However, in 2019, she abandoned him. Honey Lemon, why?
Oh, no.
So he was left alone without a human, and wait, what is he? No, he's a human. Wait, was she in love with Porygon Z? What?
I hope so.
So he was left alone without a human. Maybe that means without, like, a human companion, but he still has Porygon
that,
Z.
That might be what he's saying, yeah.
He was left alone without a human and was accompanied by a female Reploid named Pandora until 2021 when Honey Lemon meets him again.
Hello, nice to meet you. Who are you?
I forgive you.
Who are you? Oh.
However, he had a hostile... In Big Hero 6, he and she are already grown up. She tells Police Jesus to go live in San Francisco, but then he disagrees with that. Because of this, he disbanded Team Villalba to create the new Vita Squad.
Wow.
That must be a Pokemon thing. Team Villalba. I think it's a made-up Pokemon thing,
Yes, I think so, too.
However, he had a hostile rivalry with Tadashi Hamada. I believe that's the older brother of Big Hero 6 boy. Possibly because she was cheating on him. So he caused a fire at the San Francisco Institute of Technology to draw his attention and that he burned to death.
Whoa.
Which I think is the inciting incident of the movie. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't remember. I saw it once a while ago.
I'm going to watch it in preparation before we get to that part of the game, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Police Jesus escaped from the crime scene by teleporting to Europe with the Z Phone, and no one was able to search for the culprit of the fire.
Oh, no.
So wait, he murdered the brother of the kid from Big Hero 6, is what I'm being told.
It sounds like it, yeah.
He's also Sora's dad. I forgot about that, so I guess we're going to get to that soon, I suppose.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
He believed that by killing Tadashi, Honey Lemon would leave the city, but it did not work, and after that, she and Gogo Tomago, who is also it from the thing, joined the new Big Hero 6 group, and it was too late to get them back. So he and his brother get two new girls to join them and join the Vita Squad, who are Honey Woman and Belle.
Honey Woman.
After the movie in 2025, he gets another woman named Honey Woman. Excuse me, my daughter is also named Honey Woman.
It's just a really popular name, yeah.
He gets another woman named Honey Woman, who after years they marry to procreate Sora, who at 14 he gives his son the Keyblade made by him.
Nuh-uh.
Yuh-huh.
Okay.
In Kingdom Hearts 4, he helps the party to travel between dimensions with their Z Phone.
I hope so.
And I guess they just forgive him for murdering Hiro's brother.
Yeah, he's this terrible dude. Who has a weird thing about women named Honey Woman, or named Honey in general.
I'm also fascinated by Porygon Z, who just kind of disappeared from this story, as well as Pandora the Reploid.
Yeah. Hey, marry me to procreate.
We have to procreate Sora.
He's the chosen one. Also, I guess Kingdom Hearts is sometime after 2025.
I guess so. Time, you know?
Yeah.
You found some links. Did you want to read any?
I think we can save them for next time. We've got to read, but we will have to read about Kit Summers or Kit Summers, depending on where you're reading in the article.
People on this website really like spelling it one way for the title and then another way immediately at the start of the article.
Yeah. It took them like a month to write the article, and, you know.
We do have a question on our co-host, co-host.org/soundsaboutlight. We have a question from Chell at Chell. Since there's a cookie mini, Since there's a cooking minigame incoming and the sledding one last week, what are the best and worst KH series minigames? What minigame would you add and where, for better or for worse? So we do have an option to add a really bad one on purpose.
Yeah,
I have a personal fondness for the KH2 opening. I could skateboard doing nothing there for ages. Love the show. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice. I think you'll have to answer this more than me, because I've only played like a handful of these minigames.
Well, I know for a fact that you've played one of the all-time worst minigames, the command board from Birth by Sleep.
Yeah, I kind of love it, but it is terrible.
You know what, if I'm standing in my truth, I have had fun playing the command board. It just takes so long for how little the payoff is.
That's totally it. I had a great time watching like the fairy godmother like show up and do like an amazing move and all this stuff. But
I forgot about that.
But like it just takes way too goddamn long.
Yeah, the skateboard's fun. Mail delivery's fun. I mean, it's not really fun, but it's fast. Yeah, I think I just hate the Colosseum stuff, to be honest.
Oh, hitting the like jars and hitting the boxes and stuff. Yeah, that's
and the actual Colosseum fights.
Yeah.
The only good video game Colosseum that comes to mind is the Paper Mario one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Glitz Pit, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about this before. There is a very specific minigame that I would add, and that I will add by manifesting it, which is when Sora in Kingdom Hearts 4 goes to East High and does a High School Musical rhythm game.
That would be very good. Gosh, what would I like to add? Well, let me just think about my favorite minigames. Oh, well, Sora would have to deliver pizzas. That's the best minigame.
Are you thinking about Spider-Man 2?
I am thinking about Spider-Man 2. No, and I guess you would use the flow move thing or whatever.
Yeah, flow motion.
Use flow motion to deliver pizzas. And
you got
to
be careful, though. Yeah. You can do the flow motion wall run all you want, but as soon as you flow motion onto a lamppost and spin around, that pizza is wrecked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and if you land in the water, you're done.
There's a minigame from the classic Kingdom series that I never played called How to Play Golf. How to Play Golf is a classic Kingdom minigame in Kingdom Hearts 3. In this game, Sora plays golf. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a 1944 short titled How to Play Golf. Film Daily called it highly hilarious.
Highly hilarious.
This, another of Walt Disney's Technicolor cartoons featuring the goof, is a howl.
Sounds good.
Mark this down as a top flight booking of its kind. Oh my god.
Whoa, what?
We gotta go see How to Play Golf.
Damn.
What else do we do? Oh, this is Wish Us Duck.
This is Wish Us Duck.
This is the part where we try to sound like Donald Duck. I did it earlier, but I think that we really need to get a this looks like a good place to find some ingredients.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't at my best for that last one.
Okay. This looks like a good spot to
find some ingredients. The good thing about that line in the game is that you can tell that Tony Anselmo is just in agony saying it. It's so slow and so long.
He's just
because so he's this tired is of it? This is expert mode.
Yeah, okay. Oh man,
it's really hard.
Ingredients is hard. I think I was doing okay at first, but yeah,
yeah. That's gonna be. Maybe we'll come back to that again at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
There's no way that we're going to remember that.
No.
Well, that's it. We're on co-host at Sounds by Light. I'm on co-host at Positive Stress. You can listen to my other podcast, Dr. Huh, where Jordan and I are watching Doctor Who in a random order. Still? Yeah, I know. We for a while now, as it turns out. We had some delays, so we haven't had a chance to record it yet, but we are going to be next talking about the end of the world with Cassandra the Skin Lady. I already watched it, and no spoilers, but it's a great episode.
Yeah, I like that one.
Thank you, Mr. Davies.
You can find me on co-host at Achilles Heelys. You can listen to me on the F Plus sometimes, and Extra Credit sometimes, listen to the most recent F Plus. I wasn't on it, but it's preambles to like nerd recipes and stuff. It's painful.
Oh god, I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible. So definitely give it a listen. And like we say at the end of every episode, Keyblade.
Do we also say noise space?
Yes, we're also on noise space. I keep forgetting. I've been forgetting so much. Noise space, I'm so sorry. Listen to other podcasts on noise space, like The Island Shuffle and Fear Baiting.
Yeah. Diet Coke and Lilith's House of Snacks. Well, let me try saying that again, but clearly, Diet Coke and Lilith's House of Snacks.
Yeah, listen to that.
Yeah.
And Keyblade.
Keyblade.
Listen to that. And... It's so hard.
It's really hard. I feel like I really... anyway, bye.
Bye.
People don't need to hear me explain how to squeeze a Donald Duck out.
This might be a good spot to find some ingredients.